Hi everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so happy you are with us tonight, and we are kicking off the month of May, which is, our topic is internet and resources and all of that mixed in, which is really good because we've all been on the internet and we've been trying to find resources, and sometimes it's like too many resources. So we want to hone that down for you a little bit, but tonight we're going to talk about internet safety, and we have our special guest tonight is Ashley Gilbert. Ashley, thank you so much for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and this subject, we had planned this way, way long ago.
Yes.
And had no idea that all of this was going to happen and that every parent was going to be teaching their child online across the world. So this is such a relevant topic and probably something that we haven't had a whole lot of time to think about or plan for. And maybe parents are still scrambling to try to figure out how to control what's coming into their house and what their kids are seeing.
Right, because it was all of a sudden. And you just are trying to make sure that you know, we go into survival mode. So it's definitely make sure I have the devices, especially those of us that have multiple kids or in different classes. Because even, you know, as homeschoolers, we're doing online things. So it's let's just make sure we have it all down.
Right.
We're not really thinking about all the other things that come with it. So it is really an important topic, whether it's now or after the pandemic and however schooling is, it's important.
Right, because I think a lot of people are thinking further out that this is going to probably be something that even if their child goes to public school, the public schools are even talking about like half and half time or starting out in the fall with this. So this is a long-term thing that that we need to be looking at as well. That's a really good point. So yeah, so having the resources and making sure we talk about the subject.
Yeah, because I think that if we talk about it and we plan, it helps us with our success. Not that our kids won't have any issues or struggles with anything that comes up with internet safety, but I always like to say that when these things happen with our children, or they're exposed to something or they come across something, are they going to have the tools to deal with it? Are they going to know that it's safe to talk to us? And if we have never had these conversations, then most of them don't know that it's safe, and they're talking to their friends or peers or, you know, Google.
Oh, we don't want Google to be their parent. That's a scary thing.
Google anything, right? We didn't have that. We had to go to a dictionary or a book. They can Google or ask Siri or whoever, right? And so I think that's important. And so it's perfect timing for this conversation. And so, and it's so deeply rooted in my story, so that's why it's really
important.
And that's
what I wanted to dive into. Can you share a bit of your story and just why you're passionate about this subject with us
Yes.
as we get started?
So for me, it really, in terms of focusing on our children and this internet safety, it's important to me because it started out, my husband and I, in June, will be married 13 years. Awesome. And at the beginning of our relationship, we... he struggled heavily with sexual addiction, actually, and so pornography, to be specific. And so he had to go through his recovery. I had to go through recovery alongside him for us to reconnect and relearn ourselves. And so from that, and it's generational, really, you know, and you get exposed as a child, you know. And so at that point of us walking through our own freedom journey, we knew that it was important for us to instill those things into our children.
Yes.
Number one, because we know that sometimes the things that we deal with get passed along even when you don't want it to. And you can't just ignore it, right? And then we also knew that it's not if, it's when our children are exposed to it, especially the day and age that they live in now more so than back then when we first started our recovery journey. And so it just became something that we knew. We didn't really have all the tools then, because people are talking about it more now. It's even pornography addiction and things like that is more about mental illness and things like that. And so we had to, it's mm-hmm. or not mental illness, it's a health crisis. a health crisis. And so people are talking about it now, but they weren't back then. And all we knew is that we just have to have conversations with our children and talk to them and make them feel safe. And so that's why it's important to me for us to protect our kids. This is really, as parents, we want to protect them, right? And so you can't protect them from everything. But again, am I giving them the tools? Am I giving them the tools when they come back with stuff? And we've dealt with things in our own home, even with us being, you know, maybe stricter than many other people on certain things that they can watch or do, or phones and all that stuff like that. Things can still creep in, but they've been able to talk to us. And that's the part that has mattered the most, is do they have a safe place in us as parents?
We're definitely going to talk about that more. You brought up that, you know, it's almost like that generational curse where we, you know, if you don't say anything, it will happen.
Right.
It just does. And it's like, you just, there's something about what you do. It's like both my parents struggled with depression and then all of a sudden I ended up with depression. It's like, why? Why is this? And it's not like they taught it to me, but they did. They taught it to me by these subconscious things. And we don't realize what we're doing. And so when we take that 180 turn, we have to combat it as well.
Right.
So you've got a lot of good weapons to work against this, I guess we want to say.
Yeah.
So that's great. So in our current circumstances, with everybody online in school, what are some things that parents really need to be mindful of during this time that they maybe or maybe just have completely gone over their head because they're busy trying to work at home and, you know, dealing with everything else that has changed?
Right. And it's like, you want to give me another thing that I have to
think about? Whether we were a homeschooler before or not, I mean, we're on the internet a whole lot more than we used to be.
Right. I think that it's important and it's necessary, like I said. And I looked up a few statistics because I wanted to just bring some awareness to things as I answer your question, because I wanted to see, was there an increase in, pornography viewing in children during this time, right? And so let's see. So it has gone up a huge percentage. It didn't give me a specific number because it's obviously still growing.
Yeah, because
but it said it has grown up quite significantly in the last couple of months, since March, right? Since everybody has been at home. But it says 90% of children ages 8 to 16 have seen porn. Now that doesn't mean they're consistently looking at it, but 90%, right?
Huh.
That's a scary number. And and when you have most of our kids, we have our kindergartners now, right? On Zooms, and I can't, you know, imagine that. Yeah. I have a 6-year-old, so I'm like, oh goodness.
Yeah.
But they have to be up there for several classes, even as home, you know, people that maybe weren't in public school, but we always homeschool. My kids still are participating in some virtual experiences a lot more than they had before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing these numbers, I said 90%, because it was 85 a couple years ago. Right. And that was for teenagers, 12 to 17. But now it's 90% from ages 8 to 16. And many of our children at age 6, you know, have these devices. And so I think that in this time right now where, you know, for some of us in our generations, you know, well, we didn't have to be on the phone all day and we never had, you know, we have those mindsets sometimes with our children. But I think it's important for us to take a step back because this is the world that they live in. This is the reality of where we are now, that our learning experiences may be virtual. Even my homeschool tutorial is, you know, we're planning that we might have to be virtual for our year next year if we have to, you know, come back home or start out and then come back, you know. And so I think that we have to start there first. Our heart needs to realize this is the world that they live in. And so we have to figure out how to work amongst that they're going to be virtual, they're going to be online. Now, as a home, in our home, and even when they leave our homes, how are we protecting them? Because the internet could take you from one end to right. the other, right?
Well, it's like, so, like in our age, you know, you saw these kids that were under so much confinement in the home, and then when they left home, they like went off the deep end, you know, that, so still, it's what's inside you that has to eventually control you. And so, yeah,
it's really important. The tools, again, right? It's making sure that you give them that so that when they're online and when they're, that you're aware that there are filters. So a lot of times we don't know that there's things that you can help while you're on YouTube and while they're on, you know, Zoom even. We've had to worry about people just popping in on, you know, random Zoom calls and finding out the parameters around that, teaching our children even while they're online. What information is okay to communicate? Like if you have gamers, right? Kids that are playing games.
My boys, they're all over.
Or like when you're playing Fortnite, stop saying everybody's full name, where you're living.
Right, you know,
and they're like, I'm just talking to my friends. But again, you don't know who else is, you know, in that, you know, playing Rumble, Team Rumble. I don't even know all the terms. They tell me I need to, I probably need to educate myself a little bit more on Fortnite so that I can know.
Oh, I know nothing about that. Yes.
But that's a part of it, I think, even in, it's a challenge as us kind of understanding and knowing their world so that we can know, because there's so many apps, there's so many things that kind of get overwhelming. And so that's kind of on my resource page. It really kind of, other filters and other organizations kind of do some of the work for us so we can know, okay, that's not actually a calculator app. That's something else. Okay.
Right.
You know, those are real things. We think, oh, you know, my kids are okay. They're doing their math calculations on their phone, but no, we don't know that app is actually something where kids can share pictures back and forth. And and so it's really just taking a deep breath, even in our, all the things that's overwhelming as a parent, and saying, you know what? I know I have a lot on my plate. I know my children have a lot on their plate even, but what can I do? Even the smallest thing that's going to help them in a moment. And it could just be a conversation to start out. Like I'm saying, like, what have you seen? Have you ever, you know, have you come across anything? And just open the door for it to be a safe space, I think does wonders for children, whether they're young or you know, older.
Right, because they're not going to start that conversation.
It's just especially if you've never had it.
Right, exactly. Because they don't know how to even do that. And so you opening that door allows that communication stream to start.
Exactly.
And so I love that, yes. And then it becomes a comfortable topic. I mean, it's really not comfortable at any point, but it becomes something that, you know, is not taboo. And I know so many families that, you know, just don't say anything and everything will be fine. Well, that's not really how it works, is it?
Right. Or they're afraid. What I run into a lot is a lot of parents say, well, you know, I don't want to talk about it because if I bring it up, then that's going to make them curious. I haven't seen that. You know what? What I see is that they're always going to be curious, right? And again, because we have access to Google and you could just ask your device whatever you want to ask it, when those questions pop up in your head, it's going to come. What happens is you're just educating your child. You're giving them knowledge. It doesn't make them say, oh, I'm going to go look it up. You know why? Because you've already had the conversation with them and you let them know, here's your safe space, right, to have this conversation. Not Google, not your friends, not these places. And you're kind of instilling that in them beforehand. But it's when fear drives you, when it's fear, it really does the opposite of what you want, you know. And so it needs to be love-based. And a lot of times in our parent, because we did so much, right, we don't want our kids to get into those things. And so we're afraid to talk about it. We're afraid to talk about sex. We're afraid to talk about pornography and internet safety and, you know, pedophiles and people online, you know, predators. But it's not, that's not what makes them curious. What makes them curious is when they have a question and they don't know they can ask it of us.
Yes.
Or so they go somewhere else other than us. And then that's, and once you open that rabbit hole, it's really hard to backtrack because it takes 3 seconds for a person, not just a kid, to get hooked on a pornographic image. 3 seconds.
Wow.
So imagine it. Once it's in your mind, you can't get it out of your mind, right? And so a child, all that's going to do is spark up curiosity. And now it could be on Instagram or somewhere, you know, somebody in something that just kind of sparks a curiosity, and then, you know, right. the search goes yeah. from there. And it's girls and boys. It's not, we sometimes focus on just boys getting caught up in things, but it is really in this day and age, especially, it doesn't matter whether what your gender is. It is really just an important topic and conversation that we must have with our children in general. And we start young, you know, we start young and have that conversation. So you have your kid on all these calls or having to research online and, you know, you say, hey, you have a 6-year-old, talk to them about good pictures, bad pictures. And that's one of the books that they'll be able to get in that resource, you know. So it's just a matter of making sure that we are letting them know there are good pictures. There's things that's not so good for you right now. Mm-hmm. And if we've never had that conversation, our 6-year-old is going to be curious when they're on YouTube looking at all of those people playing with those little action figures and toys. And then the suggestion on the side shows something else and they click on it, which they do in innocence. Right. And they click and click and click until it takes them to something that's not so appropriate. And you never know, because most of us aren't checking. We're just like, oh, they're fine. They're right over there. They're fine.
Right.
They're right in the other room. They're fine. Mm-hmm. And that's not really the case. I've had lots of parents talk to me about things, and that's just not the truth of the matter. Whether your kids are at home or anywhere, they can be, because the internet is right in our laps. It's right in our hands. Right. It doesn't matter where you are right now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to a store and
instant access to everything. Which is gonna be good.
Right.
So it's really about those conversations. And I know I shared the resource link for the page that Ashley put together, both on the Facebook feed as well as YouTube. And I'll put that in the YouTube description after this broadcast as well. So you can definitely check those. So that's great, because sometimes as parents, we don't know even how to start those conversations. And it's good to have resources to kind of turn to say, what do I even talk about? And how do we start this? And how do I not go places I don't want to go?
Exactly.
So because it is on uncomfortable. The topic. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not uncomfortable, because it definitely
That's
is.
A very good point. It's going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
When our kids are having experiences that we maybe didn't have, it's hard to know how to gauge it, and maybe not wanting to go too far based on what they know. But again, a lot of the resources that I share in that document, there's some books that really just give you some specific questions that you could ask, because but again, I think even in our, what's the word I'm looking for? When we just don't know. We just don't know, right? We're, as parents, there's no guidebook for it. Even us just coming in our sincerity, I think, is what matters. There's no perfection behind it. There's no, and we know our children, and we know how we normally communicate with them. But again, it's just about it being a safe space. But then also, it's not about, for us, it's not about, what filters do our children need? This is our whole household. Like I spoke about our story, you know, it started out with my husband and I figuring out what we needed to declutter in our own lives. And he had filters way before they even knew what that meant. And so it came from the top down, you know what I mean? Yes. And so it's not, I like to, when I teach about it, I like to say, hey, let's make sure that we don't just focus on this is about our kids and filtering their phones. Well, what are you looking at that could be not appropriate, right? Are you filtering your phone? Are you making sure that you're holding yourself to the same standard? And of course, we can watch different content than our children, but I'm talking about things that really are not healthy for us in general. Yes. And so I think that it's important for it not, when it's something that your whole household is doing, it's not as difficult to have the conversation. But when you know that maybe you're not all there, it's a little bit harder to come to your kids and talk about it if you're not doing the same thing, you know?
Right. So, it's a double standard, and you can only hold a double standard for so long. And they just know. Your kids can read you. And so they understand if it's just a us against you type of thing, or if you're all in. And this is the way you live, and these are the morals you live by, and this is a we don't talk about going beyond this. You know, my son will sometimes, he's a movie buff and he's 21. Okay. He lives at home, and my husband will kind of search out, you know, where you can find those. And he'll like come to him and stuff like, nope, that one's not appropriate.
Yes.
I'm not helping you find that one. You know,
yeah.
And sometimes he doesn't even look to see. It's just, you know, what's rated and he, you know. Different viewers, and it's like it's good to have that extra filter. And sorry, you're living in our house, and
so. I know, right.
Yeah,
we go to what is it, Common Sense Media, or Plugged In all the time to look up movies beforehand. You know, it just helps to know before you go in, just to know, even just to know ahead of time what to look for. I don't like to be surprised at all.
Right, no. Let's have that conversation before the movie. And if we are going to see it, I know there was a topic, I think, on Christian Radio I was listening to yesterday, and they were saying, how old does a child need to see Star Wars? And I was thinking, which Star Wars? What are we talking about? The latest one? One, two, three, four, you know? Because I think I'd give each one a different rating. Yeah.
And if, you know, every family is different because we're movie buffs. We watch pretty much every Avengers movie, Disney movie, whatever. You know, we're watching all those things. But there are families that's, you know, they don't do that. But for, you know, for us, everything's different. And which is why I think having the conversation so that your children know what those boundaries are. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to always be happy with us. That's the thing. And because they're already online all the time, it's really good to have those boundaries. It's really good to set those limitations and have a, like, again, I'm going to probably say it till I'm, you know, I'm going to say it over and over again, is those conversations are important because, again, there's no way that we're always going to be on them. And I mentioned to you earlier that as homeschoolers, we often have our guard down because we feel safer because our children are with us, you know, a lot of the time, but especially as they get older. And especially if you have multiple children, I am not always, especially my youngest, like she probably has more freedoms than my older two did, you know? And so I know for a fact, you know, there's sometimes my older sons would be like, did you know, she's watching, you know, this show on Netflix, because she can probably navigate Netflix better than I can.
Right.
And it's not anything too bad, but I'm like, let's not watch it. Let me check that out first. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're my eyes sometimes, but they know my rules. But if I had never told them what my boundaries were, they wouldn't even be saying that. But they also, without me saying anything, are also trying to protect their sister because they know what our rules are, or they protect each other. Like, hey, should you be? You know, and so I think it's just been ingrained in them over the years. It's not something that just happened all of a sudden, but it's been over the years that we've been able to create that in our home.
That's that home culture of protecting one another. I love that.
Right, because I find
my boys do the same thing with my daughter. You know, they're suggest an anime and they're like, Mom, Dad, really, it's an okay one. You know, and so, it's good to know that, you know, everybody's kind of watching out for each other. And but we should feel that way. We should feel the ability to speak into one another's lives, and I think
that
as you're speaking to your kids, you're speaking that culture into your family.
Right,
and that's so important.
Yeah, and we need to come from the idea that it's not if, it is when our children are exposed. Like, because some of us again have that mindset, like, oh, not my kid. Not mine.
Yeah.
And I just say that's just not true. And when we have that denial, a lot of times, and I've seen it over and over again, those are families where they have a child that is dealing with some things, and it might not be pornography, but it could be something else, you know. It could be there's so many things that are addicting to us nowadays. It could be games, it could be, you know, when I say protecting your kids online, it's not just centered around pornography. There's just so many apps and, you know, social media, even that in itself is addicting. And so we don't want anything to be controlling or consuming any of us. And so it's just, but the inappropriate material and pornography or pornographic images and all that, again, it's not if, it's when, and how are they going to be equipped when they come across that, or even a person that's being inappropriate through a chat on a gaming site, are they going to know how to handle that? And do they feel, again, safe enough to come to us to have that conversation? I think it's important to have that idea that, okay, if I know it's, you know, if it's a not an if, it's a when, let me make sure I put all that stuff in their tool bag as early as I can, so that it's not a, it's never a question for them.
They know the route to take to deal with that. Candace Duggar made a comment. She said, yes, so true. Homeschoolers, we are not in a bubble.
Yeah.
We can't let our guard down.
Right. Yes. I like to think that we are in a bubble. But it's, you know, it's like, no, we're protected for everything. But no, you know what? It doesn't. We really are not in the, maybe from something, but most of the time we are killed, our children and our families, you know, and even in this pandemic, we all are really on one accord, and we have to like take off the blinders and realize that we must do the due diligence. And it's tough work. It's not easy because, again, there are so many things that our minds have to be on as parents. But that's why we have that resource list. And you have other people that are doing the work for us to keep up to date with the apps and the lingo and all that good stuff. But it's just a matter of implementing those things and, you know, time limits and all that.
The people on the other side of this, you know, the hackers, the pornography industry, they are constantly working at ways to get in. I mean, I can't tell you the number of alerts I get every week on my website. And I'm thinking, it's a homeschool website. Why are you people trying to hack us? you have nothing better to do with your lives. I guess not. But, it's crazy. I guess Candace made another comment. Okay. She said, these last 2 weeks alone in my business, I've had calls from homeschoolers with cyberbullying, sex trafficking, online predators, fake accounts of kids, and list goes on. Parents need to keep, and then she wrote communications.
It's very true. And it's heartbreaking, really, to know that our kids have to do, you know, it's one thing you're dealing with bullying.
Right, they're targeted.
And it's coming, you have no safe place to go, right? Because, you know, if you go online and it's there and you're dealing with the click, because homeschoolers deal with all the same dramas and stuff. You're dealing with it in person, and then you go online and dealing with it. I talk about it all the time that sex trafficking directly tied to the, you know, pornography industry. And sometimes you'll hear people separate them a lot of times because we have a lot of believers, especially is one of the largest groups of people that are addicted to pornography. And so you have, which is surprising or, you know, but it's the truth. And so we're like, we want to support, you know, sex trafficking. We think about it, people in other countries that are being trafficked and not across the street or in our neighborhoods, but we're feeding that industry, you know? And so that's why I said, it's not just about what our children do. It's about what are we doing as adults as well in our home that create an environment for protecting our children. So that, again, that's where it started for me and my husband. That's why we started our organization, to help families, marriages first. And then when you can deal with that, you can really change your home, and then you can change the world from just finding freedom in those areas, because it really does create a life of bondage in so many other areas of your life, which is why the majority of people are hooked as a child. You don't just wake up one day and say, hey, I just got addicted to this. Most people were exposed as a kid, a teenager, and then it just went from there, and their parents never knew. They didn't have a safe place to talk about it. And they went to their friends, and it's cool. Mm-hmm. So, especially nowadays, texting and all that is normal. And it's kind of, it's heartbreaking. That was my point. But just, we have to see it through the lens of our children, like what they have to deal with and attack it at that level, you know?
Right. Yeah. Candace did have a statistic. She said pornography is up 4,900% when school is out. The Pro Hub is giving away free content to get people through COVID. It's
I did a lot of research on the things that's happening now since COVID-19, and but again, through apps like, you know, Snapchat and TikTok and all of these things that a lot of our children are on, right? And Snapchat was actually created so that pornography could be shared easily. And most of our kids are on Snapchat, right? And so I know, I didn't know until I was researching it.
My kids aren't even on Facebook.
Yeah.
They have a gaming app that they make me go on so that they can talk to me. But that's kind of a blessing. That's kind of how they function. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it says 5.7 million kids under the age of 11 are on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat. That's under the age of 11. I think you have to be 13 to be on Facebook.
Have an account, and yet still.
They're under age 11. And so ads and all that stuff. So, but again, I'm going to repeat it. If you have a kid up there, if that's your choice, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. On Snapchat and all these places. But if you've never had a conversation with your child, again, you can research it, and people, you know, that are in these different organizations will pose as a teenager or 11-year-old girl on Instagram with a private account, private account, and how many people in their messages they get men in their messages talking to them. And they say how old they are. It's not like they're hiding how old they are. They know they're 11, and it's a private account. So we think, oh, their account's private. Nobody can. No, you can still get messages. People, and they'll message you and say, hey, let's create a, join my group over here of other girls, and we're just going to hang out and talk. And it's it's classic grooming. And so, again, I just want to make sure that we are aware. And it's scary. I'm not trying to instill fear, right? But it's just awareness. So we can know that it's something that we need to make sure that we're educated on as parents, but then also instilling these tools into our children.
Right, because there's the flip side that these resources have so much power to do good as well.
Right.
I know my daughter has her art studio on Instagram.
Yeah.
She does art, and she was actually commissioned by someone approached her to create a character for their video game. And so she started having the conversation with me before she even responded back.
Okay.
She said, should I respond back? I mean, she's 15, and we've had the conversation.
Yeah.
So she and I went back and forth with this man that she was talking with. He actually paid her for the artwork, and then he just, you know, it's in the video game, and now she's able to, they're promoting it this week, so he contacted her back and said, we're using your character as a promo and just wanted you to know. And so so there is that flip side, but
it's not evil.
Would come to me and say, what do I do with this? And and have that open door for that conversation. Mm-hmm. So there's the other way that this can go as well.
Right.
So
and I think that's a good point that you bring up, because sometimes we think about it as like, all this stuff is just, it's just too much and it's bad. But it's really, again, the world they live in, there's so many different things, especially as homeschoolers. I have creatives, right? You know, I have a son that does films and all of this stuff, and they want to put it out there, right? They want to put themselves out there. And so I think that all these means can be used for the right way. And again, our kids can be up there safe as long as they know the tools, and they understand that everybody's not nice and everything out there is not for you, you know, and when they know that. But, and we think, I think as adults, we think, oh, they should know that. No, their brain's not fully developed.
Exactly.
It really isn't.
And then when they hit that teenage, everything goes out the window. So.
We really need to have the conversations with them at a young age, even. And I try to tell people, when I say, I've talked to my daughter at 4 or 5, 6 years old, they're like, what? Why? What? She's not looking at anything. No, but it would break my heart.
Right.
If she was looking at a video or doing something and something just came across the screen that she accidentally clicked on or touched, which is very possible, and it exposed her to something that I had never talked to her about. I don't want that to happen. And so I make sure that I have those conversations. And so it's not about, again, having a fear that, oh my God, it's going to make her want to look up anything. No, kids can hear you and go on to something completely different. 10 seconds later, it's just like,
I know.
I heard you. Okay, can I get back to my game?
Right, but it's embedded there for when it is needed, and they will draw on that, because if you have that relationship that's important to them,
that information
is not lost. And, so yes, I totally agree. That's such good information. Yes. So, you know, you talked about apps, and
yes.
I kind of want to talk about mobile products as well, because,
okay.
You know, our kids, when this we aren't in quarantine, they're out and about, and we give them phones.
Right.
What are some safeguards that we can put into place so that temptation, you know, when they're on that with mm-hmm. they're with their friends, maybe their friends challenge right. them, mm-hmm. when they kind of feel like, oh, what do I do with this situation, you know,
yeah.
To just help them to make, you know, be in a place where they make wiser choices.
Right. So I know for us, we use, and I'm referencing things that they will be able to see in the resource list. mm-hmm. But I think it's important for us to begin to, you know, trust our children. We give them the tools and we have to trust them. Again, they're not yeah. always with us. Mm-hmm. And so the service BARC, or the app BARC, really allows us to trust our children outside the home, on their phones, but it basically barks or alerts us mm. when something that's controversial, or because they keep up with all the code words, the lingo, all of that, mm. that we don't
oh,
know,
that's
right?
Because to us, yeah.
it's just
it changes
some emojis, right? to us, it might just be some emojis, but to them,
right.
they're saying something. And so mm-hmm. it allows your children to have the freedom to have those communications and texts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it alerts us only when it's necessary. Hmm. It's like, hey, and it's that app has been able to help parents that kids that were going to, you know, even commit suicide. Like, it's been able
oh,
to alert
yeah.
some parents on really serious topics. So this isn't, hmm. again, just about pornography or anything like that. It's just really about protecting our kids with mm-hmm. these devices that mm-hmm. now is their mainstream of communication with their friends,
right.
especially, you know, because mm-hmm. we want them to stay connected. So again, BARC is really mm-hmm. well, and we don't use it in our home just yet. My oldest is 12. He doesn't even, he has a flip phone that I bought them
right.
only when it's like, he's at rehearsals or wherever, and they're like,
and
I had to teach him how to
use
it.
That's a great option. So, my husband's looking forward to that when he retires. He's because he yeah. does IT. He goes, I'm going back
okay.
to those phones.
Yeah, but they have tablets and, you know, iPads and stuff that they use all the time. So we mm-hmm. use another thing called Circle. It used to be called Circle by Disney, but now it's Circle. And that right there is a device that we plug up to our internet, and it allows us to filter.
Yes.
It can filter through, and it's just on my phone, so it's, mm-hmm. it's a device plugged up, but it's also an app on my phone, so I can go in and see all the devices connected to which child. So there might
yes.
be different parameters based on their age. I can pause the internet. I can
mm-hmm.
give
awesome.
Them rewards and things like that, but uh-huh. it helps filter through certain things. I can block certain websites, things like that, but it's also has a feature that when they're outside your home, when they're not on your Wi-Fi, mm-hmm. right, it can filter and keep track of what they're doing. But then mm-hmm. also when anybody comes into your home and they log on to your Wi-Fi, you can have certain parameters for guests. Right now we don't have any guests,
oh,
right? But when we come back to having guests, so anybody that logs into my Wi-Fi, I have younger siblings, they're like, you know, in their early 20s, but
mm-hmm.
they come in and they're like, why am I limited on how long I can be on Snapchat? Because you don't need to be here all
right.
day.
Exactly.
So you can set limitations and hours on it too. And so I think that it's beneficial because you have guests mm-hmm. in your home or wherever, you want to make sure that even
right.
they're
and
not, hey, let me show you this on my phone, you know.
Right, or even your kids walking through the room and they're looking at something and
yeah,
them not
exactly.
even thinking about sharing it, but they take a glance, you know.
Yep,
and
exactly.
It's
so those are two that I highly recommend. There's more on the list, but those are two that I think, especially the BARC, when you have kids that have phones and devices and you want to build trust with them, because a lot of times, you know, we don't always have time to always be checking their phones, every app,
mm-hmm.
every communication,
oh, yeah.
right? It might be a couple weeks before we think through that. And so BARC
yes.
really helps ease your mind as a parent to say,
mm.
hey, I'm going to be alerted if it's something, and not just in terms of pornographic material, but it could be
any kind
conversation
of right.
that's that, and they're always constantly updating their
mm.
site, updating their software so that it stays up to date with the things that we have no way of keeping up to date with as a parent.
Yeah. Things change daily. So yes, thank goodness there are companies like that that are they're doing that.
And then letting our kids know, you know, that we're doing these things again, having these filters, and why we do it. I think having a why behind it. If you don't know why you're doing it, really, I mean, it's hard to kind of communicate it to your kids, especially if you're you haven't had any boundaries, and then you're going to come in and say, I just heard this.
Yes, that's a very good point, is that, you know, we all need to sit down and have a family meeting, that this is something we're all doing. I mean, we have filters on our cell phones, and there's things I can't look up. I tried to find, you know, an order from a restaurant, and wouldn't let me pull it up because it was a restaurant and bar. And I was like, oh. I gotta go to my computer to do that, I guess.
And you know, I like Circle for that, because everybody's devices has different things on it, parameters. So my husband and I's filters may be different, but I even set time limits for myself on social media, and I'll get mad because it'll say, "Mom has reached her limit on Facebook." And, you know, my husband, my husband will get an alert. He'll be like, "Honey." You know, so it's, you know, it's not just for them, it's for me as well.
Accountable, though.
Exactly.
And and we all need to be accountable. And that makes your kids feel more comfortable that they're not being targeted in your home. It's like, we all need to watch this. And it's something that can consume us.
Right.
And especially with spending so much time doing schooling now. And business. I know a lot of people will see me if I pop onto Facebook, and it's usually because I'm working. I'm like, I'm not chatting right now. This is work. I'm off. And so, but I, you know, you hate to be rude, but it's like, this can consume my day.
And creating a distinction, because again, our kids are, you know, all the rules and regulations about screen time probably now are out the window because our children are having to be up there for several hours a day, a lot of kids. And so I think that we need to set those boundaries and know, like, if they're doing their educational things, they also, again, their world, a lot of times how they're keeping in contact with their safe spaces through their friends are going to be online, are going to be through virtual spaces and games and all that. It's just so many different things. It's so many things to manage, right? Even Sundays, like, okay, whose group is now? You don't need to keep it up with all of it. But I think that we need to create that distinction and still let them know, like, no, you've been on the computer too long. Well, maybe, you know, they're just trying to connect with their friends. You know, they've been on the computer, but they were doing schoolwork. So, you know, let's have those boundaries. And we all need grace in this moment, because there's a lot going on.
That's true.
And just to take, there's no cookie cutter way to do it. Every family is different. And I say, with this kind of thing, don't get off this live and say, everything's getting shut down.
We don't want to scare you at this point.
No, but I think take your time, go over the resources, have, you know, ask questions, talk to, you know, your spouse is a significant other, have conversations with your children, that kind of get a gauge and a temperature check of your home and where you are and what your kids already know and have been exposed to, because our children, even we don't know it, are looking for outlets, right? And a lot of times they find those outlets and say, even just us, we zone out, right? That little flicker of our thumb on the phones, right? Because we're just trying to like decompress from the day. And again, we just need to realize that they're no different than us. They may be younger. They may not have all the developed brain cells and all that stuff that we do, but they really are humans just like us. And so giving everybody grace in the midst of the pandemic, that we all might be online a lot more than we want to. But again, do you have the right boundaries and parameters so that everybody can have as much fun within this boundary, right? Because I like to say like that freedom and recovery and all that stuff. Sometimes people look at the gate and say, look at all that stuff out there that I can't do. But it's really, look at all the things that you can do in here, right? Look at all that you can do. And it's really just showing your children that, like, I'm not saying that you can't connect with the virtual world. I'm not saying you can't do games. Because I think when you do that, what you do is you create the curiosity. You create your children wanting to go outside of your home and sneaking around and doing these things. And again, that's not what we want. We end up, that fear-based mentality really does the opposite of what we want. And so I think when we can look at it from a place of, especially right now in this season, kind of saying, things are going to look a little bit different. We all probably will be online a little bit more, but here are the parameters and things we're going to put around it. Then have fun. Enjoy yourselves. Exactly. You know, connect with your friends and whoever else, and utilize it for the blessings that they all can, you know, internet and social media and the things that it, the good things that come out of it. Yes, and I think that we'll feel better for it. And even when our children are exposed to something, you know what, and they come and have a conversation with us, those are things that really build our relationships, because there's conversations that I've had with my children, you know, that were kind of uncomfortable. And it's like, I never talked to my parents about this stuff.
Yes,
but,
I know.
But then on the other, so I don't have any idea how to respond. But then on the other hand, I'm like, yes, that is what I wanted. Even though I'm sweating bullets, they don't know it.
Oh, yeah, but no, they have no idea what you're going through. They're thinking, oh, yeah, mom's got the answers. We'll just come to her.
No. Mom just read a book.
Yes.
I just read a book that asked the question, you know.
But, you know, I have two young adults, and I know when they, because we did things like this when they were younger, you know, when my son was struggling in college and he had some rough spots, we would be the first people he would talk to. Mm-hmm. You know, you want that to happen. And there are going to be scenarios that come up in the future that aren't even related to the internet and all these other things.
Yeah.
But you have to be the go-to safe place in all of those things to be able for them to come home and say, you know, it's that prodigal son thing.
Right.
We don't stop loving them. And we have to keep showing them that we love them. And,
right.
I did want to dive into, you know, just a little bit. What if a parent knows their child is struggling with this?
Right.
What do I do? You know, and maybe there's a lot of guilt on parent. But, you know, how do we turn this around?
Yeah.
And start moving in the right direction.
Yeah. I want to start by saying to that parent that's out there, because it's, you know, I've been saying, you know, it's on the parents, but it's also, we do the best that we can with what we have, right? And that's all that we can do as parents. And so I say, don't allow any guilt or condemnation to set in, because again, it just takes root and doesn't create a safe space for you or your child. And so I say, pat yourself on the back first as just being a parent that can survive so many different things, right? And so I say, start there. Because I think that matters, just saying to yourself that you are an amazing parent, even in the midst of when our children deal with trying things. Because no matter how hard we try, no matter how many tools we give them, the reality is our children are humans. They make their own decisions, even from the littlest to the oldest. They really make their own decisions. And it's not a reflection of us as a parent, right? You know, a lot of times we feel that weight, that when our child runs away and throws a tantrum, to looking at pornography, we blame ourselves, and that's not always the case. Yes, we could change some things, but I just wanted to start out with that, to give yourself a pat on the back and say that you're doing the best that you can. Mm-hmm. And now, from now, this point, what can you do to make a difference? Because I tell you, there is hope. There is always hope. Because I know for me, again, I share my story, but there is always hope, right? And don't lose hope. It takes some work, but there's hope to get out of these situations. So what I say, therapy is an amazing tool that a lot of times we don't always access or think about for our children, right? And so I say that if you know that you have a child that is struggling with pornography, or that it comes out that, you know, they're dealing with it, again, putting these tools and parameters in place is like, that's a must. That's like not a wait. You need to have those so that you can keep track and see what's being consumed, and have those boundaries in place and be on one accord. And that doesn't mean they're not going to go against the grain, because a lot of times, especially if it's an addiction or something that's really a struggle, that's not going to be a hard, just because mom and dad
they just
said
can't
it,
say,
right?
Oh, I'm going to stop now. Yes.
Yeah, right. But I say therapy is a huge thing. And I say, try to find a therapist that really deals with sexual addiction or pornography, because sometimes you'll get therapists that are great therapists, but they don't really know how to deal with that type of issue, especially with teenagers. And so I say find, and there are groups also. So I say do some research on on groups. And a lot of times my husband and I will help families and stuff that really need some kind of consulting in terms of.
I'm gonna bring up your website okay. too. It's,
yes.
Ground Zero. Whoops, I have to fix that. Looks like I have a typo.
Okay. Realizing that you can't do it alone. I think thank you. You can find resources on there and you can reach out to us as well. But I think one of the things that a lot of families are dealing with because of the shame attached to it, especially as a parent, it's one thing if your marriage is dealing with that shame. But when you deal with your child dealing with it, again, we take on, oh, it's my fault. What did I not do? And so there's shame attached to it. And so what I say is don't let that keep you in silence or isolation. You're not meant to fight this alone. There are groups for parents that are that have children that are addicted. There are groups for your child. And now, I mean, it's virtual on the phone. It doesn't have to be in person. Dr. Doug Weiss, and resources are on my site, but I also believe that on my the resource page, Doug Weiss is, yes. So, yes. So his site has tons of resources for us as parents, for teenagers that are addicted, for women, children, like, because I know them. I know I'm talking about protecting your kids online, but I never know my audience. And so I like to say, whoever needs this help, right?
There's
resources for all of us. Mm-hmm. That resource page is not just for, because I was a partner of an addict. And so I know that those things, it could be more than just your children, right? And so there's resources up there for more than just our children. But again, not being alone, therapy is a must. I don't let your kid just try to struggle with you and them. Do some family therapy. Get a plan in place.
When they realize they're not alone. Yeah. Therapy is one of those things that just, it really, it normalizes.
Exactly.
And it makes you feel like, oh, this is a common struggle.
This is something
that people have moved beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do that too. So it gives hope, but it also frames where you're at.
Yeah.
So it
helps our child or teenager or whoever realize that while my friends and other people may normalize this, this is actually causing me to be sick. It is something that's not healthy for my mind or brain because it's literally altering our children's brains and it's changing how they communicate romantically, building relationships. It when you look at and research it, and you know, we could probably have a million conversations, talk all night about it, but there's hope. Don't fight alone. Find a therapist or somebody, a coach, somebody that could really guide you through a process, because you really have to have a plan in place. And your child needs a mentor or accountability. I think that's trusted by you, but that might be outside of you as well to help so that they could check in. And it's not a one-time conversation. Like, don't ever watch it again. Everything's blocked and then think it's over with. It's really, like I said, sometimes kids are hooked and parents don't know it because it just takes a few seconds. Now, not every kid is hooked going to see a pornographic image or something inappropriate, but it's our kids are looking at things, a lot of them, and we just don't know it, right? And so it's a matter of us, again, having those conversations. And if they are knowing that you're not alone, there are resources out there to help you navigate that space. You don't have to be alone or in shame about it. It's nothing to be shameful of, because even if you did everything, had every filter and every parameter, there's so many out there coming at our kids. There's so many from so many different angles that it's sometimes it's hard for them, you know, and things just slip through a tiny crack. So don't blame yourself. Just do what you can from this point on to make adjustments and changes.
If you're listening to our podcast, it's groundzero.tv. Is the website that you need to check out.
Yes.
That Ashley has with her. It's you and your husband both have this.
That's the ministry that we've created together just from our story and, you know, the things that we've dealt with. Yes.
Yeah. So what else do you have on your website? I just want to make sure people know what resources you do offer.
Yes. So we do on our Ground Zero site. I have, you know, my ICANN business as well. But at Ground Zero, we offer coaching for marriages also, because my husband and I are both certified as addiction recovery coaches. I focus more on the partner side and him working with the sex addicts, but we work with families again, like I said. You know, if you know that you want to figure out how to navigate all this space, like what are the things that work at our home, we do coaching and kind of consulting on that as well. But there, you can click up there and hear our story, the things that we've dealt with, but you'll find resources. A lot of our stories pertain to marriage, but again, and then on my personal site, you can find which is ashleygilbert.net. You can find our webinar that we did together on this very topic. So we delve a little bit deeper than this conversation that we're having today, but you'll find the internet protecting resources up there, and then even the link, I think that directly links you there. So
and you do some life coaching.
Yes, I am a life coach. I work with women. I also, my main passion is dance and movement. Actually, I do motivational movement classes, and I kind of tie in my life coaching to create really engaging experiences for us ladies, because you know, we always, our body changes, minds, emotions, and movement. Yeah, movement, as you know, is a very powerful tool in healing and finding freedom and loving your mind, body, and soul. And so it's all connected for me. So I do also one-on-one sessions. And so it's all been one big conglomerate to me, because it's about finding freedom in every area of your life, whatever that looks like in mind, body, and soul. So either I'm doing coaching or recovery coaching, it's all kind of, it's really at the heart of who I am. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Because I think we can get so siloed into one thing, and it can be so, drag us so much down. I know this is a really heavy topic tonight.
Yes.
But the flip side is there is so much more than this, you know.
Yes.
And we did talk a lot about that tonight. And so, but you know, like resources like Ashley has, and you know, there's just so much more on the internet that you can dive into, people to help, and you know, oftentimes when one, you know, can of worms gets opened in our lives, we find that there are many more that we need to deal with. And so so it is good to, you know, have people come alongside you and to really help with that.
And I just say, don't be afraid to have, you know, look at these resources and you utilize whatever you can, because again, we are not meant to do this parent thing alone. It really does take a village, even if that village is an app helping us figure things out. The villages look different these days because of the season of life that we are in.
They do.
But I say take it, and then do not feel bad. Again, when our children are online, they're doing these things, because this is just where we are right now. So much is virtual. And that is okay. It won't always be this way, but just fill up your tool bag and your children's tool bag with the right thing, and we will come out of this situation, I think, better.
It's teaching them so many skills. I mean, as jobs are moving online, you know, they're learning how to navigate all these things. And we lived on a farm for 5 years in the middle of nowhere. So my kids already, this was their norm when we did that. So they just kind of reverted back to that. And so it didn't take our family a whole lot of adjusting, but I know for many it did. So if you have to go back, let me tell you, it's much easier the second time. Ashley talked about community. We are going to follow up this broadcast with our Mom's Night Out. So definitely check out our Facebook support group or one of our regional jump groups for that code, because it's in a closed chat room with other moms. But thank you so much, Ashley.
This has been such
good information. Make sure you click on that resource page that you gave and download that, print it out, have those resources near you.
Yes.
It's a good page of stuff. So,
yes.
I wrote on the back. So, but we're going to continue this conversation next week. We're talking with Brenda Murphy from Sailway, and she's going to talk about how to use your homeschool resources most effectively. So what you already have and how you can change it up
That's cool.
and use it effectively. So that's, we're going to keep on this theme this May for resources, but
Awesome.
So that's next week. But thank you for your time, Ashley,
Thank
and for sharing
you.
Your story and just for the encouragement.
Thank you so much for having me.
These trying
I enjoy.
Times. You are
Yes.
welcome. This was so good. So thanks everyone for joining us, for your comments, and we'll see you here again next week on Sped Homeschool Conversations. Until then, have an awesome week. Stay safe, and we'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.